We've been away for what's been, I think, over 3 months at this point. I don't even know what it's been. Life has been crazy. Life has been busy, but it's good to be back doing another episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Joey, it's good to see you, man. How are you doing? We even matched for this episode.
We even matched. Yeah, we didn't. We had no plans on doing this, matching exactly the same colors. So I think that's a good sign. I think it's a good sign that we're on the same mindset. And it's been, I think it's been about 3 months, right? So it's been a minute, but we're happy to be back. I'm kind of trying to get my bearings again. We were having some issues early on, but I think we got it. I think we're here.
Yeah, it all worked out, you know. And I was going through just the intro, and in my mind, I was like, "Is this what I normally say? Is this not what I normally say?" But it'll all come back. It's like riding a bike, right? You don't do it for a while, you can just hop right back on, and it feels normal. So. But yeah, we'll not only be talking about all the recent goings on in Star Wars in this evening's episode, we'll be talking some of the Kathleen Kennedy news, updates to the character of Baylan Skoll. We'll be talking a new Star Wars Unlimited box, our thoughts on Skeleton Crew, and on the upcoming season 2 of Andor. All of that and more in tonight's episode. But before we get into some of the Star Wars discussion of things, we really wanted to give a life update for each of us and just kind of briefly talk about what have we been doing? Where have we been for the last 3 months? Why was the last episode we put out all the way back before Christmas time when Skeleton Crew was still, I think, on like episode 4 or something like that? So, by the way, episodes 5 through 8 reactions are coming soon to the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. So stay tuned for those of you who like watching those reactions. But Joey, what are some of your biggest life updates in the last 3 months since we have released an episode?
Well, I decided at some point, I think it might have been even before we took our little hiatus, that I'm going to be running the Chicago Marathon in 2025, and I'll be raising money for the Ronald McDonald House charities once again.
Very nice.
We're doing pretty good. We actually already have raised $1,600. So in the time that I've been away, so it's going pretty good, actually. The fundraising has been pretty good, and I'm excited to see how far we can get. I'm hoping for at least 3,000 this year. The training has been, it's kind of slow. I'm not going to lie. You and I have both done marathons in our past, so I do know what is ahead of me, like literally as far as mileage and aches and pains and Advil and ice baths and all that stuff is ahead of me. So yeah, October, I think it's October 12th or 13th of this year, I'll be running the Chicago Marathon. So raising money for RMHC. We'll leave the link in the show notes later on of where if you wanted to donate to the Ronald McDonald House Charities. They gave me and my wife a place to stay when our daughter was in NICU for about a month and a half. So they've always been a charity that I wanted to continue to support even after we were fortunate enough to leave come back home. So they mean a ton to us, to a lot of families. So I'm just very excited to continue to charity fundraise for them. And I'm not excited for the 26.2 miles though. I'm going to be honest. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble for that. But as far as I'll do it for the charity though.
Well, you know, I don't know how many people know this who are listening or watching, but you are partially to blame for the only full marathon I've ever done.
That is true.
Well, so when we originally met, gosh, I guess it, I don't even know. Was it 4 years ago, maybe? Something like that.
Sounds about right.
Maybe even 5, actually. I mean, I think back on that COVID time, and I'm like, I don't even recall what month or even year it was that we met. But you had mentioned to me about, you know, running for Ronald McDonald House, and I was like, oh, that's super cool. Because, like, obviously, I would never be able to qualify for, you know, for those that don't know, these big marathons like New York or Chicago or Boston, like, you have to be, like, a really good runner to get into those. And I'm like, you know, I could take 10 years and probably still not be able to qualify, or, you know, I could run it through a charity and like do something I've always wanted to do and support a cool cause at the same time.
Right.
And so you told me, you know, of course, about Ronald McDonald House Charities, which, again, do you remember when I used to say RMHC and I used to always say RHMC or
Yes,
something
yes,
like
yes, yes. I do remember. Because you're
I
thinking
just
Rock
saw
Chalk Jayhawk is what you're thinking.
yeah, probably. Shout out to KU playing tomorrow night. Hopefully we can get the win.
Who
March
do they got?
Madness.
Who do they got?
Arkansas. So I mean
Arkansas.
we're favored, but even if we win, we'll probably get destroyed in the second round. But yeah, beside the point, it was a fun experience getting to run for Ronald McDonald House Charities. Gosh, what year did I do that? Was that 20? I think it was 2021 when I did that.
Okay.
But yeah, I got to go to Chicago, took some pictures in front of the Bean, and then ran a marathon the next day. It was a lot of fun, and like you said, raising some money for a good cause. So shout out to you on your marathon training. How do you feel like it's going so far?
I mean, like I said, slow going early on. I got a lot of miles I got ahead of me. So I think once I get into the summer months, I hope to be a little bit more confident. Right now, I'm just kind of going through the motions right now as far as the training, getting the miles in, getting the steps in, getting time on my feet. I'm trying to do a lot of the cross training and strength training that the some of the plans call for. So I'm hoping that's going to get me through.
I believe in you. It's in October, right? Is it in
It is in
October?
October, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You got this. You got this. We'll have to do like a at least a weekly, if not at least a monthly, if not a weekly update
Yeah.
on how your progress is
I'm
going.
holding up.
So yeah. Well, all the best luck to you and your preparations. And I will say part of our not part, most of our reasoning for not podcasting during the last 3 months or so is primarily due to my fault. I definitely had a more than busy last couple months, particularly the month of February. I did officially get married
Let's
last month, and
go.
so there's a little picture if you're watching the video version of the podcast or watching it live on YouTube or Twitch. Yeah, officially got married last month. Guess we've been actually this weekend will mark 1 month of being married. So,
Oh, nice. What you gonna
yeah,
do?
and
I'm skin.
well, I should we should go like on a nice dinner date or something. But there is basketball on from about 10 to 9, so maybe we could go on a dinner date at a sports bar. I don't know. I think she's listening slash watching right now. So.
So definitely dinner date. Yes, dinner date
Yeah, I said
with
a
no
dinner date.
TVs in the background. I got you.
I didn't say anything about basketball just now. Yeah, coming up on almost a month of being married, and it was
How was the day? Was there any stories, any hiccups, anything you really remember from the day that you'll carry for the rest of your marriage?
well, I can't recall any hiccups per se. I do. I had a professor who I'm in grad school right now, and I told her I had class on Thursday. I have class on Thursday nights, and I told her I was gonna have to leave early that night because my future, well, now my in-laws, but my at the time my future in-laws were coming into town, and we were gonna have dinner, them and my parents and Mariah and I. And she said, like, as I was walking out the room, she gave me a good piece of advice. She's like take really deliberate moments to like almost take mental snapshots of what you're looking at and really commit those moments to memory. So I caught myself like doing that kind of throughout the night, and that was nice. Just the memories of like her Mariah walking down the aisle really stick out in my mind. And then the reception was just a blast. It was so much fun. And I don't really have a funny story about the reception or the wedding per se. I do have a funny story in lead up to the wedding. We have a friend who has a fair amount of cars. He works in that universe of automobiles, and so he has a personal collection. And so I went over to his place about a week before the wedding looking for a car to drive away from the reception. And he's like, you should do this one, you should do this one. And I look at it and I say to him, like, I've never learned or know how to drive stick. It's a stick shift. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to. He's like, no, don't worry. Like, you come out here like the day after tomorrow, I think it was at the time, and I'll teach you how to drive stick. So this is like 4 or 5 days before the wedding. I wake up, I go to his house. I spend an hour learning to drive stick. The first 10 minutes, I probably about destroyed his car.
Jeez.
And so leading up to the event, and I got to the point where I was like, I could do it, but I was still pretty bad. And it was like the day and 2 days before the wedding, and I texted him. I was like, look, I really appreciate it. I want as little to worry about on my wedding day as I possibly can. Can I please have an automatic so that I don't have to think about driving a manual? So
Nice.
he gave me one of his automatics and we drove that away from the reception instead.
Pretty
So
cool, though. Pretty cool.
yeah, it was a fun memory and a good time. So, but yeah, that's where things have been. I'm almost done with grad school. I finished that in about 3 or 4, 3 and a half months.
Nice.
All the bulk of it, the heavy part of it, will be done in about a month's time. So, like we said earlier, right now we're kind of on this thinking like a every other roughly schedule for podcasts rather than every week. But there's a hope, I think, in the near future, maybe once school concludes, that we can potentially move back to a once a week type of schedule in the early fall of 2025. So,
Very nice.
but yeah, that's kind of what's been new with me, and life is good. House hunting now. Shout out to Gibbo in the Twitch chat. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, we got Mariah also in the YouTube chat if you didn't see.
Is she? I missed her. Where
Oh,
is she?
come
I've got. Oh, I didn't scroll down on my screen. There she is. Look at that last name on her.
Mo,
On
I
her.
know
Yeah.
it's official, man. She went all out. She had
Yeah.
made sure the Google account has showed the right last name now. That's
Yeah.
I have a friend who I actually don't know if she ever actually changed her last name. Like it
Like
took her
legally.
I think it took her maybe like 6 years to finally do it. It's not
Yeah.
that she didn't
Well,
want to do it, it's just that she just didn't do it.
yeah. I mean, Mariah has been kind of going through like the whole, it's a pain. She was
Oh
telling me about like
yeah.
all the steps. There's like, you need like your birth certificate. You got to go to the Social Security place. You got to like bring all these documents and do all this
Right.
stuff. So, yeah. I mean, technically her last name, I think, is legally still not
Not your
my
last
last
name,
name.
yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get
So,
there.
yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. But yeah, that's but what's been new with you and I, and but we're excited to be back. We're excited to be podcasting. Yeah, and just to reiterate an update to the schedule, the next couple months we're going to be doing more of these lives, probably roughly in every other type of week schedule. So stay tuned for those.
Yeah.
And
And hopefully Gibbo will be back for this because this is a
yes.
lot of juggling, I'm going to be honest. So,
Yeah.
but either way, we'll figure it out. This is the first time that we're trying to do Twitch and YouTube. There's this thing called Stream Together that you can do on Twitch now. It's basically you could combine the chats as well. So right now I'm also streaming on my personal Twitch channel. Was trying to get the share chat thing going, but it didn't work out well. So, and then eventually we would like to get Ben's account involved in the share chat. So, because once upon a time, our friend Ben TV was a Twitch streamer. So we want to say hi to them. I'm sure they all miss you, Ben.
This is the first time, this sounds really sad to say, this is the first time I've had like a Twitch browser up in probably like legitimately probably at least a year, if not more. So I was like, I couldn't remember what my login
Oh my God.
information was.
Okay, so
So
maybe the next episode we'll get that.
yeah, maybe we'll figure it out, who knows. But should we move into some Star Wars talk? I mean, it's been fun to catch up
I
and
guess
talk
this
about
is a
life and
Star Wars podcast I've heard. So yeah,
no.
we can start that up.
All right, all
Yes,
right.
you are
Well, we
needed, Gibbo. What are you talking about?
yeah.
Gibbo on YouTube now saying that. Yes, we always need the Gibbo.
Yes. By the way, speaking of basketball season, I know Gibbo's in the thick of basketball season right
Yes.
now. So we'll look forward to next time he's able to join us. But first piece of news we've got tonight. Tonight's episode is pretty much going to be news heavy, and then a little short Skeleton Crew recap, and then looking ahead to Andor season two. So we've got three pieces of news. The first of which is something that is really important, I think, to both of us. It's something we talked about a lot when Ahsoka was season two of Ahsoka was going on. Season two or season one? Season one of
Season
Ahsoka.
one, yeah.
So many of these shows and so many seasons, it's easy to forget. Season one of Ahsoka was going on, and the end of the season where, Baylan is stepping out onto the hand of the father, and And that's kind of where his storyline ends. And he's a mysterious character, and you don't really know what he's after. You know, he was a Jedi at one point. Very intriguing character. Of course, the untimely passing of the actor Ray Stevenson, who portrayed him shortly after the release of Ahsoka Season 1, or maybe even prior to the release, if I remember correctly, if that timeline, I think that's about how that went. Regardless, it was kind of this thought process of what are they going to do with the character of Baylan Skoll, Ray Stevenson's character in the Ahsoka show. And it was like, do you try to replace a character who did a really good job with the role? Does it do a disservice to his memory? And I'm more of the opinion that if you can find someone who fits the character who, you know, the actor was able to portray and build in such a way that he did, in a way that honors the true roots of the character and doesn't try to like change it too much, I think that does more to honor, you know, his work in the role. And they have done that. And to add even more like excitement for me personally, Rory McCann is the actor that they have gotten to replace Ray Stevenson. And I don't, have you seen Game of Thrones, Joey?
I have, yes.
Okay, this guy is known most for Game of Thrones, but he's a great actor. I think he was recently in oh, what did I see him in recently? I feel like it was a really big like blockbuster type show. Regardless, I mean his role as the Mountain, or no, the Hound, excuse
The
me.
Hound, right.
Gosh, it's been a while since I've seen Game of Thrones too. His role as the Hound in Game of Thrones is really, really like a rough and tough character on the outside, but he's kind of got a little bit of a heart of gold, and you see
Right.
him develop a relationship with a character,
Was it
in
Arya,
that
right?
show. Yeah, and it's kind of like this older brother little sister relationship that's, you know, they're both really rough around the edges, but they both, especially him, has this kind of heart of gold. And so, that was really where I really first saw his work as an actor. And I can see the portrayal of Baylan going really well under his watchful eye and doing a lot of, you know, active efforts to honor the memory of Ray Stevenson in the role too. What did you think when you heard this news?
I mean, I loved them in Game of Thrones, so I and they kind of look alike. I mean, good job on the I think it's the beards, I think. Maybe, you know, like I don't have the nice beards that the two of them or even you, Ben, actually have. So I you know, I think that's part of the selling point. You were probably next in line, honestly, to reprise the role there.
I wish mine was half
Yeah,
as good as theirs
it's a
was.
good one. But either way, I, you know, I'm excited. It looks like he was in Gladiator 2. I think that's
That's
the
what it
other
was.
movie he
Yes,
was
yes,
in
yes.
most recently, which I didn't watch. Did you watch Gladiator 2?
I did. You know, the last like 4 or 5 months, I have not been as active at the theaters as I would like to be. I try to catch at least 2 movies a month. That's probably one of like 3 or 4 films I've seen since like Thanksgiving time. In the theaters, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought he did his role really well. Shout out to Denzel Washington too, who kind of carries the movie. But yeah, I mean he does a great job. Roy McCann does in his role in Gladiator 2.
Yeah, so yeah, I think this is going to be a good fit. I forget, I think he's a Scottish actor if I'm not mistaken. So, I think they have this, I mean, I don't know, when I saw him in Game of Thrones, he looks like a huge, huge man. So I'm not quite sure if that was, you know, how he compares a stature wise as to Ray Stevenson. I'll be interested in seeing how that works, because what was the his apprentice's name? Shin
In
in
oh,
Ahsoka in
in Ahsoka,
Ahsoka.
you're sorry, not Roy McCann. You're talking about the
Yeah, I'm
character of
thinking about the
Baylan Skoll.
character. Yeah,
Yeah, it was
was it Shin? Was that the right word?
Shin Hati,
Yeah,
or
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. So I think the I think seeing like just again the stature of him next to her, I think we're going to be able to see like exactly how big he is. And but the acting, you know, I'm just excited to have this character back. I think it's going to be really, I think he's going to be good in that role. I'm excited to see what he's going to do with that role now. I can't wait for Ahsoka season 2. I'm not sure where they are in their production. But they definitely are going to it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be I can't I just I really can't wait for our season 2.
Me too. Yeah, I looked it up, by the way. Roy McCann is 6'6". I'm not sure how tall Ray Stevenson was, but he seemed like somewhat of a tall fella as well. But I would bet Roy McCann probably got a couple inches on Ray Stevenson. So, but shout out also to Star Wars Order over on YouTube during the live recording of this podcast. No, this is not pre-recorded. We have just been away for about 3 and a half months, and we're trying to cover all the news that we missed.
We basically picked a couple of news segments that were like, okay, we need to talk about that since we've been gone for 3 months. So, but hello, Star Wars Order on YouTube. Nice to have you here.
Good to have you with us, and looking forward to Ahsoka season two. I don't believe we have an official release date for that, but it's exciting to know that we have an actor in place for the role of Baylan Skoll, who I'm really excited to see what they do with that character. Another piece of news we got. I know, Joey, this is kind of right up your alley. Latest Star Wars Unlimited set was released. The set is called Jump to Lightspeed. And box breaks are something we've done a couple times before on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. For those of you interested in the box breaks and the card pulls, how are you feeling about the new set, Jump to Lightspeed, Joey?
Oh, funny you ask about I'll ask about it. So I picked up another box for this. We'll probably do a box break at some point for this as well, but another set. This is primarily targeting ships in this one. So there's a lot of Millennium Falcon and TIE fighters and so that's kind of the main cards in this particular series. Now, it may not go as well as some of the other ones. If you remember, Spark of the Rebellion was a lot more of the like the Luke and the Leia type of cards. We had more of like a bounty hunter set later on. So I'm but this so this may not be as actually, I don't know. Maybe this will be more popular or maybe less popular because it's a such a different kind of set. And you could even see the pack art is a couple of this is a TIE Defender, I think, on the packs there. So it's going to be cool. They still have the a one difference in this particular release of this set of this series is that they have what's called the Carbonite boxes. Now, if you remember, Ben, we like every pack has like a foil card or a hyperspace variant. So there's a bunch of different variants that you can get. Within the set itself, this Carbonite box, booster box, is a little bit different. And you can see it's on the right hand side there of the picture if you're looking at the video version of the podcast. So with these, every card is either foil, hyperspace variant. Every single card in the pack has some type of variant. So it's more of a
Wow.
collector's edition type of box. Now it comes at a premium, of course. The normal box, like the one that I have, the regular booster box of 36 packs, is about $100, whereas the Carbonite edition box is closer to like 270. 270, sometimes 300 if you look online for these. So, and again, it's more of a collector's type of version. Of the booster boxes. So it's going to be, if I can get my hands on one, I probably will open it and see what's inside. And the if you remember the collector's showcase, now those are the ones that they're really sought after cards. It's like the leader card variants. So they like Han Solo's in there, Thrawn's in there. So those also still exist in this set. In the regular booster boxes, they're normally one every 12 boxes. In the Carbonite edition boxes, it's like one in every other box.
Wow.
So you're close to guaranteed, not quite guaranteed, but I mean, if you have a very good chance of getting one of those showcase variant leader cards in there. So pretty exciting. I'm excited to see what I can get out of this box here. And one thing that did actually come out today, actually today as well, is and I don't have a graphic for this, but another box here, cards called Topps Chrome Black. This is actually This is more of a your traditional like Topps cards, where the other one is actually the playing cards that we, you know, like Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, that type of thing. But these are actually like trading cards that the traditional trading cards that we would normally kind of open at a hobby shop or something like that. So that's the other one that actually dropped. I think it actually dropped today. So I went to the hobby shop and I had to grab one. And I
Very
thought
nice.
maybe it would be fun for the pod if I just opened it real quick. It's a really quick open. I think it'd be much better than like the 36 packs that maybe we'll do a separate video for this one. But it may be a quick little Topps
Go
Chrome
for
box
it.
opening. What do you
Yeah.
think? Okay, we could do
Yeah,
that.
yeah. How many packs are in it?
It's just one.
One pack.
One
One
pack.
pack
And
for the win.
then there's some encased cards as well. So let's take a look real quick.
Okay.
There's an
Any
autograph card in there as well. So there's a guaranteed autograph card.
Do you know who the guaranteed autograph is?
No, not of who it is, but you just know that. I mean, so hopefully we'll get like a maybe a Hayden or a Obi or a Ewan McGregor one here. Maybe we'll see.
Dang,
Star Wars order
that is
here
a
says sometime in 2027, Ahsoka will be released, I was told. So that's what Star Wars order says in the chat here.
man, if we gotta wait 2 years to get the next
You're
season
right.
of Ahsoka, that's I don't even know what we'll get in the next year. I feel like it's gone a little bit dark in terms of like what we went through such a cool period of time, especially like the second year. I feel like really the whole time we've been doing the podcast, where it felt like there was something new every 2 or 3 months almost. And
Right,
now
yeah. At least we
we're
have Andor coming
2023.
up this year, so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But here's the box.
Go for it. Go for it.
And I'm gonna leave the encased cards last. So let's do the pack of cards first. So like I said, there's a single pack here. I've been watching a lot of like box breakers lately, like of Pokemon cards. So I'm gonna try to do it like them. So we got okay, so we got what we got here. We got Snoke.
Snoke. Ooh.
And see, it's like the chromium shiny cards here. These are just the base cards here. Got
He who was cut in half. K2SO.
K2SO. Oh, we were just talking about Shin.
Is that who that is? Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Shin.
It's weird, like the chromium almost makes it like harder to
Yeah.
see.
And then we got the last card of Director Krennic. Looks like it's a little hollow, actually. And it's
Nice.
actually numbered. What is it?
Is that the
Of
autograph?
199. No. This is just a refractor version or foil version, kind of. You see how the little rainbow effect here? It's also serial numbered out of 199. So there's those. And there's two other encased cards in there. Let's see what. Okay, so here is one of them. Ooh, a Darth Maul.
Ooh, Darth Maul. Very cool.
See it, and it's encased here. So, and then there's the back of it. 2024. 25 years of Darth Maul. Can you believe a time without him? Okay, here is the autograph. I'll do like this. And here it is. Oh, CO Beeble.
I'm not gonna lie. If you would have like put that picture of that guy up, like he's one of like Queen Amidala's advisors from
Right,
Phantom
yeah.
Menace, and you would have said to me, "What's this guy's name?" You could have given me 100 guesses.
Oliver Ford. Yeah, thank God this wasn't one of our trivia questions because this is what it is. So yeah, there it is. So yeah, unfortunately, sometimes you get a CO Beeble and not a Luke Skywalker or something. But you know, one day, Ben, we're gonna hit a big card for these.
One day. That's still cool, though. The fact that they even have that autograph card in there. I like it a lot. Well, pick up your copy, or your box, I should say, of Star Wars Unlimited, the newest set released featuring all the wonderful ships of the universe of Star Wars. And be on the lookout for our box break coming very soon on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Check it out there. And any last thoughts on the Star Wars Unlimited box before we move to our last piece of news?
No, I think, yeah, I actually, oh, this might be pretty good. So when I went to go pick up this box, it was at a local hobby shop. And if you've ever been to hobby shops, they are like the most nice people out there, like, because they just want to
Yes.
talk. They just want to talk the hot about the hobby. You know, if you're talking about Star Wars, they want to talk about the franchise and the fandom and everything. So when I went to go pick up this box, some of the people who run the shop came up to me. They're like, "Oh, you know, Star Wars Unlimited." Like I said, this is like an actual playing card game where you could just like Pokemon or just like Yu-Gi-Oh and all that. So they were offering to like to teach me how to play. It was like a Friday night, and I had the girls with me too. I'm like, "Oh, probably not tonight," but like they're like, "Oh yeah, whenever you want, you know, join our Discord and come hang out, and we play on Fridays." I'm like, "Okay. Maybe one day I'll take them up on it, and maybe we could like record me learning
That'd be
how to
fun.
play Star Wars Unlimited."
That's the Patreon content,
That's
right?
right. That's right. Yeah.
Coming soon. Stay tuned for the Patreon Star Wars Unlimited Joey learning to play. What's the official name of the game?
Star Wars Unlimited. Star Wars
Oh,
Unlimited. Yeah.
okay. Coming soon. Check it out in a Hoth Hangout Patreon near you. Well, thank you for sharing that. And we've got one more piece of news before we move into the chunk of the podcast. That news is a relatively recent
Is
piece of
it news
news.
that I mean I'm not sure what
I think it first debuted like 3 weeks ago, I want to say. And then there was sort of an update like a week after that. And so this story kind of had its most recent iteration roughly 2 weeks ago. News breaks about 3 weeks ago that Kathleen Kennedy is stepping down as president of Lucasfilm. Then there's this week of like her refuting these claims and saying kind of like not coded statements, but just like things that alluded to the idea that maybe she's not done in the industry, but it sounds like Lucasfilm is moving towards a succession plan of who the next president of Lucasfilm is going to be. And I have some ideas for who I ho hope that will be, if it is in fact true that Kathleen Kennedy is stepping down. Again, there has been no official word from Kathleen Kennedy on this, other than denying the claims that she's, quote, retiring. Now, that can mean, you know, a lot of different things. I think the article that we read, Joey, is alluding to the idea that when she said that, she's trying to tell people she's not done in the film industry or the movie or the TV show industry, but not explicitly denying that she's maybe on her way out of Lucasfilm. So I don't know. When you read this, any thoughts about who, if you could pick anyone? I mean, I don't know if Dave Filoni's in the running or not, but
I
for
mean, it's kind
me,
of hard not to think of him right away, or Jon Favreau, or you
yeah.
know, these are the people that have been doing Star Wars well, you know, and under her rule, you know, under you know, with her at the top there, those two, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, have kind of they've been, in other words, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, carrying a little bit with some of the
Yeah.
content that they've been creating. Mandalorian, obviously, like Clone Wars, everything that Dave touches with Ahsoka, and you know, and it's just really good, you know. So I'm it would be to excuse me, to think that they're not in the running would be, I don't know, would be surprising to me if they were not in it. So that would be my hopes as well. You know, and I think with Dave especially, because of, you know, his connection with George Lucas, with kind of the success he's had again through the Clone Wars, and just the storytelling. I think that's the biggest part, you know, just the being able to tell such good stories, because that's essentially what you want, you know, that's what you want from your franchise. You know, I think of like Marvel, you know. And how they can have so many stories kind of going on at the same time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a little marveled out right now. You know, like there's just so much out there. I think when I got to like Endgame, I mean, it's called Endgame, so I'm thinking like this is the end. I that's all my stamina. This is I can get to. It's like when I'm running the marathon in October. Like, if you're gonna tell me this is the finish line, this is the finish line, right? Like, oh, by the way, no, now you got to run back. You know, like that's basically that's what it feels like with Marvel. But at least with Star Wars, you know, you have like all these different things, and you're not like having a different version of, like, let's say Captain America, or a different, you know, like just a whole other storyline with the same characters and all this. But at least with Dave, I think he tells these stories well, and I don't know. That's who I would want. That's who I would want leading Lucasfilms.
Yeah, me too. And I think with where Star Wars is at and where it has been for the better part of the last decade, I can't help but think, like, if I'm Bob Iger, you know, CEO of Disney, and I'm looking at how Star Wars has performed, like, yeah, you're not meeting the expectations that, you know, should go with a brand as big as what Star mm-hmm. Wars is. And so I think when you're making a decision to put someone in that position, I hope the rationale is, we want someone who fans will know that, you know, what Star Wars is in really good hands with right. whoever they decide.
We'll take
to
care
in
of
that
it.
Position. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want, like, some, you know, Disney executive TV person who, like, yeah, I watched Empire Strikes Back one time. That's the one with the laser swords, right? Like, that's right. not what we want. The person who is the president of Lucasfilm, and when I say we, I mean, like, generally, like, all Star Wars fans, ideally, I would think all Star Wars fans want someone in that position who has a working knowledge and is a fan themselves of Star mm-hmm. Wars. Like, when you put someone at the top of something who... Right. who has a, like, an integrated sense of what it means to be a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. And not that Kathleen Kennedy, like, doesn't have that sense, but George is literally, like, excuse me, not George, Dave.
Oh, Freudian slip.
Yeah, Freudian slip. Dave is literally George Lucas 2.0. Like, he worked with George on Clone Wars stuff. He knows these characters. I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, Dave Filoni right now, kind of, like, in terms of lore, is Star Wars. Like, his brain is Star Wars, more or less. And to reiterate what you said, I think this is Dave's position. Dave Filoni should be the president of Lucasfilm.
And here's one talking point to this, right? Dave's a great storyteller. He's able, you know, like I said, he has a lot of work in this industry, in this particular fandom. Is that the role that he should be in then? I mean, I understand, like, at president, of course, this is what, you know, you think of it, right? You think of it and it's like, yeah, I want the person to, you know, to be able to take care of Star Wars, like, right, Lucasfilms, right, to be this fan. But should he be? Should he still be in a role like he is in now? Because,
like, it's almost too high up or something.
Right, right. Like, you know, if you think about, you know, I think about, like, my job, like, my work, right? Where some of the best workers, like, get promoted, right? But now they're doing jobs that they shouldn't be doing. They should still be doing the work. You know, now they're managing people, managing projects. And maybe they do it okay, but they were much better at the lower level when they were actually doing the work that needed to be done. Now, at the president level, you need to think about finances. You need to think about, does that type of stuff. Like, just not necessarily everything the story, but you think about it in a bigger picture. You know, like I said, just with when you're talking about a multi-billion dollar company like Disney or Lucasfilms, you know, it's not going to be just about the story. He's got to worry about everything, you know. Now, is that the role that you necessarily want him to be in?
Right. I mean, there's the idea that it feels restrictive to his creative capacities. And so, I mean, if Filoni does become the president of Lucasfilm, there would likely also be a restructuring of what it means to be the president. And I mean, I don't know if he would share some responsibilities there to allow him to invest more of his time in creative efforts rather than administrative efforts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, make Jon Favreau the president of Lucasfilm and let Dave be, you know, senior chief creative officer. I don't know. Give him
something to, give him that title. Because I think that title is actually for everyone else and not for him, not for Lucasfilms. If everyone just knew that he was high enough to just make very big story decisions, I think people would be happy with that. You know, if now the president, people are always going to just like, you know, point at the president and be like, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you know. So I think if whoever that's going to be, I think that's going to be fine. Even if it continues to be Kathleen Kennedy, if you give Dave a role high enough or sounds high enough for people to be like, okay, he's technically in control, you know, I think the fandom would be fine with it.
I hope so. I mean, what is Dave Filoni's official job title currently? Executive, Chief Creative Officer, Executive Vice President.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good already, you know. So is that where he is already? Right? Is that what he's already doing? You know what I mean?
We want him to have the ultimate say. He gets to decide all the stories. That's what I want.
Right.
Well, regardless, we'll have to keep an eye on, what goes on in the world of Lucasfilm in the coming months, and I mean, maybe years. I don't really know what the timeline is here,
Yeah, I mean
but
the article mentioned a little bit about like this coming year. You know, they I mean that either not necessarily that she'd be leaving, but more maybe the discussions will be they'll have more discussions about it, you know, who will possibly ultimately replace her or you know be shortlisted to, you know, to be that role. But I mean maybe you do like a Jon Favreau slash Dave Filoni type of thing where Jon is the president, Dave is the chief creative officer or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they decide to structure it as, giving Dave and John as much creative freedom to, put Star Wars in a position where, the stories that are being told are from, I want the stories to be from their minds. Like, if I'm a Star Wars fan, that's what I'm hoping for. So, that's pretty much all the news we got. We've covered kind of three key pieces, and we've
But there,
got a,
and just to be known, there were a lot
yeah.
more. This would have been a
Yeah.
4-hour episode if we covered all 3 months worth that we missed.
Right. When you're gone for 3 months, there's only so much news you can cover. So you got to kind of pick on the highlights and some of them, the minor points, obviously we're not going to be covering today with other pieces of news, but what we still will still cover in the remainder of this podcast is, first of all, recapping Skeleton Crew and just kind of our general takeaways and thoughts. Now that the show is officially behind us, or at least season one, I guess I should say, if there is a second season that comes out, we're not going to do like an episode by episode recap or anything like that. Just kind of generally, after having seen all 8 episodes, the conclusion of the show, where do you feel like this show falls for you, Joey, in terms of just an overall enjoyment level, and then maybe in comparison to some of the other Disney shows we've had recently? And I would even pose this for those of you listening or even watching live in the chats as well.
Well, I think you and I went into this pretty low expectations, right? I mean, when we heard the plot of it and you know, we saw the cast for it, basically four kids going on an adventure in Star Wars world. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, didn't feel like there was any real stakes ever. I mean, in the world of Star Wars, obviously for these kids and their, you know, what they've been through, definitely had some stakes. I mean, obviously they were on their own in the ship, but it had that 80s vibe, that Goonies vibe that we were kind of looking for, at least that I was looking for. It had a, you know, the kids were on this adventure. They kind of stumble their way through the universe and they find a who they think is an ally who doesn't end up being an ally. I'm not quite, you know, and it's just a it was a fun show. Will I rewatch it? I don't think so. I don't think I'll probably it didn't capture me in that way. I think this is a great entry point for maybe a younger audience, maybe around the 12, 13, you know, year olds. Now this is me being way older out of that generation, so maybe I don't know anything about that generation anymore, but if it were me, if I was, you know, if I had seen this when I was 12, 13 years old, I'd be like, "Oh, this is a pretty cool show," you know, and it gives me hope, you know, 'cause that's what that the these types of movies back in the day really did was kind of give children you know, the reins to do whatever they want. And that's what the fun part of it is all, you know. Now that I'm much older, I was more like on the parent side. I'm like, oh my God, if my kid did any of this, I would freak out, you know. So I was Will's dad the entire time, you know. I'm just like, oh my God, you know, this is crazy. But I think it was still enjoyable. Like I said, like, this was something that I expected to be just kind of a fun watch, you know. And I was glad we got to watch it together, you know. I know we it took us a little while. We watched it, I think, maybe a month after the finale, if I'm not mistaken. So we didn't actually get to watch it with everyone else. But surprisingly enough, I did not get spoiled the entire time up until that point. I don't know if that means I was really good at avoiding spoilers, or did this not really get that much traction that people just were not talking about it, right?
Well, maybe it was that. But I also, like, after, I mean, I think the statute of limitations has kind of expired on the finale, so apologies if anything I say. I won't reveal too much if you haven't seen it yet, but there really wasn't anything in the finale that it was like mind-blowing, right. Something that would have been considered a spoiler, per se.
Right.
So I think that's also part of it, is that there wasn't anything that... I mean, you and I watched the finale, and I think my first thought was, wait, so, like, is that it? Like,
right.
You know, I think the finale was probably the weakest part about the show as a mm-hmm. whole. I like the arc of the show, the way it's kind of empowering these kids to, like, go on this journey, extend beyond, like, what they know and explore the galaxy. It is mm-hmm. very, like, 80s, you know, style child adventure movie, which works really well. I think this might be a hot take. I think in terms of any Disney Star Wars show, you could make the case, maybe with the exception of like the last 20 minutes of the finale, that this is the most cohesive Star Wars show, probably, in terms of what they're trying to do with the plot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can say that fully, because there are several shows that are still on the table right now, like Andor and Ahsoka, right. and even The Mandalorian. But, you know, with where Mando went with season 3, where we're not sure Ahsoka's going with season 2. I mean, we both are pretty high on Andor. All that to say, amongst shows that we know what we've got so far, it felt cohesive.
Like, right.
We know what we were getting. Like, it's a childhood adventure show. It's not blowing our minds, but it's also, it makes sense. It's sweet. It's approachable. It's endearing. You know, that's right. What I would say about this show. Like you said, did I think it was my favorite Star Wars show ever? No, probably not. But I'm literally, quite literally, already looking forward to the day when, like, hopefully I'll have children of my own that I can, mm-hmm. you know, and that I think I'll probably not watch this again until that moment. Mm-hmm. But when I do, I'll be like, you know, I appreciate this show for what it is. It is really meant for child audiences, but I think there's lots of parts of it that, that adults can enjoy too. So,
mm-hmm. So about kids, Ben, I'm just kidding. That's a different yeah. podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, to wrap it up, I mean, this was just, you know, and I think we mentioned this a couple of times during our reactions, is that this is a show about, you know, kids on an adventure that happened to happen in the Star Wars universe, you know? I wished a little bit more from Jude Law's character. Was it Jod? Is that?
Yeah, Jod Nanawood or whatever.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more from him and his story. So hopefully if there's more content, I mean, I'm fine with if it's a comic book, if it's a book or something. I want more from him. I liked Will. You know, we can go into like the characters a little bit here now. I liked Will, but I think, you know, I think Will was, he was just like that kid that kind of stumbled onto everything, right? Who just happened to push the button and then just straight up lied about it. Like, oh, it wasn't me. Like these are like, you know, kid storylines. And I forget if the directors talked about it as much where they had like talked to the kids about like, oh, what would you do in this situation? And, you know, that type of thing. So I think that was smart of them. And oh gosh, it's been so long already that I really forgot the names of the other kids, but like, you know, I thought the cast was pretty tight though. I thought they were, you know, I was believable that they were a group of kids, group of friends that kind of like fell into this adventure.
And Star Wars Order pointing out that his name was
Wim.
Wim.
Oh, did I say Will?
Yeah.
Thank you. See,
Fern
I already forgot. I
was
already
the
forgot.
one. Fern was the one that I really liked. I watched, I think the first episode she was in, I was like, I'm not gonna like her character that much. And then, you know, seeing where the crew goes, and I really enjoyed Fern's character, and I felt like KB was gonna be the one that was left out. And then they had that episode with
Yeah.
KB that felt really meaningful. And then of course Neil just through and
We love
through
Neil.
was like, oh my gosh, like I'm shocked I don't have a Neil, like, you know, stuffed whatever back there yet. I was watching, so I'd watch the episode with you when we were watching the first four, and then I'd watch it with Mariah afterwards. And I joked with her because she loved Neil as well. I was like, we're definitely getting a stuffed Neil,
Oh my
and
gosh. Yes.
he's the greatest. But yeah, I mean, I was a little let down by Jod's character. I thought, not necessarily from an information perspective. I mean, I guess I was kind of about that. Just, I didn't really understand the ending of the show. Like, who was this person they kept talking about the whole time that was, you know, in charge of the planet? And then we never met the person. Like, was it a robot? Or I wasn't sure what was going on there. But if anything, in terms of, you know, expanded content on Skeleton Crew, if we don't get a second season, I would love a book that takes place like, you know, 30 years before this, and Jod is a Padawan, and or, you know, whatever time period he's in, we're just learning about kind of his journey to where he got. I would enjoy that personally. So
I did like KB too. That KB story really hit, you know, that hit Jen the feels a little bit. And good, I mean, good acting. I mean, they're kids and I thought their acting was pretty good. And well, the and to, just to backtrack, Will, I thought Will, have you ever played Baldur's Gate 3?
No, but I know the game.
So there's a Will in that game that I've been playing that like off and on here, so that I think that's why I had that on my mind. But I think the a season two, I don't know. I don't know if I want a season two, to be honest. What do you think?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I don't think it's going to happen. Mainly from a financial perspective, this was the worst financially. Well, in terms of viewership, I guess I should say, in terms of viewership, it was the worst performing Disney Plus Star Wars show so far, which is kind of sad too, because this will tie into kind of one of our last segments we'll do here in about 10 or 15 minutes, but I don't think this is anywhere near one of the worst Disney Plus Star Wars shows. I mean, I
You
can
mean
think
content
through,
wise?
yeah, content wise, as opposed to what do you mean?
Like numbers wise or
Oh yeah, content wise, I know, but numbers wise, it would be the worst performing. So I mean, how much of that is because it's coming on the heels of The Acolyte? How much of that is because it's sort of marketed more towards kids, and the adult audience is like, I'll pass on this one, which is a shame because it's a fun show. It's endearing, like I said, and so all that to say, if I was a betting man, I don't think they're gonna do a season two. But I wouldn't be opposed to it if they ever, you know, the day comes and they're like, we're gonna do another season. I'd be like, great, I love that show.
Just to address some chatters here in my stream, Lord Galvatron, thank you. Lord Galvatron came in here with a raid. And Nestle and Manesh, hey everyone, I hope you thanks for coming by and hanging out with our first live episode on Twitch. This is our first one that we've done, and hopefully this is what we're going to continue doing going forward. Dual streaming to Twitch and to YouTube, and have a little bit more interaction with this. I think it's our backgrounds in content creation, I think, Ben, was from Twitch streaming, right? So being able to interact with people is probably one of the more fun things to do as a streamer. So I think that's why we decided to kind of switch our model up a little bit, because well, one thing we're going to do every other week, like we said, to hopefully get a little bit more content, a little bit more beef to each of our episodes. But at the same time, like we know, Ben's married now, so he's going to have to do a lot of other things, you know, with life. He did mention kids earlier on, so we'll see about that. But yeah, I think it's been It'll be a good change for us to do these live episodes and get a little more familiar with the viewers.
Yeah, and also not to say as well that that won't mean that there'll be any like decrease in content. We're probably going to be able to provide parts of the podcast in more digestible versions on YouTube as well during the extra week hiatus that we'll have before between episodes. So all that to say, just to kind of wrap our Skeleton Crew conversation, I would say great show. Obviously not anything over the top crazy in terms of what we might want from Star Wars, but like I mean, for me personally, and I think a lot of Star Wars fans who watched this and The Acolyte would say the same thing. Like, this was way better than The Acolyte. For, very different shows, obviously. It's hard to compare apples and oranges, but just where I was at when we ended The Acolyte versus where I was at when we ended Skeleton Crew. I'm much higher on Skeleton Crew than the, recent Star Wars shows that have been created. So
Yeah, and I think the expectations going in were so much higher with The Acolyte too, that you had to hit it out of the park with it. Those were pretty high. I remember you a year before we even they even premiered, you were like, "I am so excited for The Acolyte. This is going to be so cool. This is
I
going to be a
was.
great time in Star Wars." And just to have a the people just didn't enjoy it as much as there was a it was I think it had its moments. I think it had its shots. I was really I still want I'm not gonna lie, I still want season two though. Here's the thing.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
I get that, if people didn't enjoy it and they didn't end up greenlighting season two and all that, whatever, whatever the story is. But the fact of the matter is it didn't hit with everyone, and that's unfortunate, Will there be season two? At this point, it doesn't seem like it. Will there be like books? I mean, we've seen comic books. We've seen like a lot of other content kind of around the Acolyte. So we know that it's still at least maybe on the minds of Lucasfilms. But I think they're, I think it just didn't quite connect with everyone that needed to. And I know we've talked about Acolyte in the past, but for what it's worth, I did enjoy parts of it. Some of it, I was just like, I don't get this part, but I was willing to pass it along. And I'll say it once again, Manny Jacinto, best part of Acolyte. I was so happy to see a bad guy that was Filipino. Let's just say that that was my favorite part of it. And but getting back to Skeleton Crew, I think the expectations were very different, where Skeleton Crew was just like, okay, this is just going to be a fun thing to do, just to watch, where the Acolyte just had such high hopes for everybody.
Well, yeah, and speaking of high hopes, now that we've kind of discussed Skeleton Crew, and by the way, not to say that there aren't people who didn't enjoy The Acolyte. Shout out to Star Wars Order in the chat,
10 of 10.
who sounds like Acolyte was a favorite of theirs. But speaking of high hopes for shows, like we had for Acolyte, and then maybe we didn't have quite as high hopes for Skeleton Crew, a show that we definitely do have really high hopes for. And I'm very hopeful that we're not let down in those high hopes is Andor season two. We don't have much in terms of discussion for Andor. I'm sure we will a lot in the coming months. But what we really want to do is take an opportunity. You and I have both yet to lay our eyes on the Andor trailer that probably came out like almost a month ago, but maybe it
Yeah,
wasn't quite that
probably, yeah.
long, but it's been weeks since this trailer came out. We thought about doing like just a one-off recording of it, and figured, you know what, we can incorporate this into the Return podcast, and we will react to the brand new trailer live. Obviously, for those of you who are audio listeners, you're not going to be able to see our visual reactions to the trailer, but we'll spend a minute or two after the conclusion of it here in about a minute or so when it's over, and let you know what we think of it. But did you have any thoughts before we hop straight into the Andor season two trailer?
When this came out, it didn't even register with me that Andor was coming out pretty soon. I have no concept of time right now, so I was just like, oh yeah, I guess it is about time that some marketing comes out for Andor. So somehow you and I had both not watched this trailer, and I figured, yeah, let's just watch it on the live today, just to share it with everybody.
I'm ready. I'm excited for this.
All right. Let's see if I can get this working. Okay, we ready?
We're ready.
Can you hear
Yes.
We're in a war. You want to fight? Or you want to win?
That's cool.
Background.
That's kind of fun.
Saw! Oh, Saw Gerrera.
That's awesome. Let the world turn around. All our hopes have come to me. Ethan. Here's Bix.
Now.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, Krennic! Let's go.
It's a little Rogue One crossover. Wow.
That's cool. Love that. The music, though.
Yeah, this is great. It almost doesn't feel like a one, but it's
yeah. Oh, big dance number there. This guy.
Karn.
Yeah.
Actually, made fun of that guy so much.
So much.
Remember this moment. You're right here, and you're ready to fight.
Oh, I love that Saw's in it.
Me too. April 22nd.
Oh,
I will. That is the day after I present my capstone project for graduate school.
It'll be your celebration.
It will be. I think there's three episodes on the premiere night, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there's. It sounds like they're doing three episodes a week. Which, can we talk about being Star Wars content creators, about how difficult that is going to just be?
Well, it makes it simple in terms of recapping it, because it's like, all right, we'll just do one episode. We won't go into super detail on the episodes, and you just do all three at the same time.
Yeah.
But on the reaction side of things, if we want to do reactions to everything, it's like, oof, we're going to be like watching. You know, it's not a short show. It's not like Rebels where the episodes are 22 minutes. These are like 48 minute episodes. It's like,
yeah, I'm excited for that. I mean, we're basically watching four movies, right?
Yeah,
we're watching four Andor movies. So, I'm pretty excited about that. I think. What do you think? I don't think they announced any run times yet, right?
Not that I've seen, but I don't, just off the top of my head. So Andor season one was like what started our podcast when we started recording.
Oh my, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
What was it like? I don't know. 2020 months ago?
Yeah.
Andor, like episode one was what we did. Our episodes one through three was what we did our first episode of Hoth Hangout on.
Right.
And we just like jabbered about it for almost 2 hours.
It's like we are going to do it right now. And but at least now when we jabber about it for 2 hours, it would make sense because we're talking about, like, you know, probably 2:15 of content with three episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the trailer. It felt like very
kind of rock and rollish.
I don't know. Rock and rollish. Yeah. That's a good descriptor. I'm enjoying kind of all the alluding to Rogue One crossovers that we've got going on here. We saw Krennic and saw Gerrera both in the trailer, and I don't recall what happened to Andy Serkis's character in season one. Do you think we'll see him again?
Oh, remember? Yeah, he was in the he was stuck on that island or whatever, and he couldn't swim. Remember the prison, where the prison was.
I wonder if they'll have him come back at all or not.
Yeah,
but, I mean, we got Bix in the trailer. We got Karn. We got Luthen. Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Mon Mothma had such a huge role in season one.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it. We're just about a month out, and you can catch all of our breakdowns and our reactions here on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel, and of course you can catch us now doing our live streams with our thoughts on it as well on Twitch. So. Looking forward to Andor season two. Looks like a pretty great trailer. We are 33 days away from its release.
Oh my gosh, that's so soon.
Coming up fast.
Yeah, I think do you think it's going to be better than season 1?
I think yes. I think it will be roughly around the same. This strikes me the way that the direction of the show is going. It doesn't feel, I don't know, it does, like, the expectations feel high, but it doesn't feel like you're ready for your mind to be blown.
Right.
Because it's a character-driven show, and you're not watching to see, like, this, like, epic conclusion and battle scene or whatever.
Right, right.
Like, this show is so character-driven, and it's so well acted that that's what you look for more rather than like the awesome lightsaber battle.
Yeah, true.
Which frankly, for some people, you know, does turn them off from Andor. Like I have a good friend who is like, yeah, Andor is our family's least favorite show. And I'm like,
yeah.
To each their own. So there are people who, you know, don't like Andor. I know you and I both really enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, I think there's lots that we got in that trailer that have made me even more excited than I was before for season 2 of this show.
Yeah, and I think each 3-episode arc, I mean, that's probably what we'll call them, right? Is separated by some time as well, isn't it? Like a year jump or something between each of those.
I think it is a year. If I remember, I think I read that somewhere. But yeah, it is separated by a time jump. I know that.
Yeah. So. And I think it'll butt up right up against Rogue One.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Which one of my top three Star Wars movie for me. So I'm excited to see this. When season 1 of Andor came out, I was like, okay, sure. You know, this is fine. But when we were watching it together, I'm like, oh, this is actually a pretty good show. So there were a couple of episodes that were a little slower. I think earlier on, especially.
Yeah, the early episodes.
I'll be interested because I seem to remember when we were watching it, if we would lump like episodes together, like, yeah, these three would have been good together as like one type of, you know, episode. So that's literally what they're doing here. You know, you're just going to get a full, this is my idea. Obviously, you're going to get some type of full story each, you know, 3-episode week. And it's crazy because it's going to be, what, 4 weeks and we're going to be done with the entire season. So it's a very interesting move that they did here. Part of me, the cynical side of me, is wondering, is there a reason? Is there a reason why they're doing this? You know, where they know that some of it is kind of light on content or light on. Because one thing that did strike me a little bit was that dance scene. I'm like, ooh, I don't know where that exactly fits in. It's given me vibes of like of the Lizzo Jack Black episode a little bit, you know, of Mandalorian. So we'll see. We'll see where we end up, though.
This is a flashback to like Queen Lizzo as a younger girl who's like doing a concert in that scene. That's what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, lots to be excited about with Andor season 2. Maybe even some dancing scenes. Who knows?
And yep.
Looking forward to watching it here with you, Joey, in just over a month's time. It's going to be a good time. And speaking of Rogue One and Andor and just Star Wars shows in general, I had one more thing for us before we conclude this comeback episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast. Something that I was thinking about a couple hours ago as I was like, you know, tomorrow, if you're in the U.S., this is a big time of year for college basketball season. Mm-hmm. March Madness starts, well, technically started yesterday. There was 2 games yesterday, 2 games today, and then there's 16 games tomorrow and 16 games on Friday. So it's a big time of year for basketball. And you know, if you're familiar with March Madness at all, you know it's all about a bracket, right? It's all these teams that get put in a bracket, and in the end there's only one standing.
Right.
So I had the thought, what if I make a bracket of all of the Disney era Star Wars products, shows and movies?
Okay.
And I've got 16, because you know, if it's a bracket, we got to have 16 teams.
Right. 316.
I've got 16 of these here for you. And we don't have it as a visual graphic, so this will, if you're an audio listener or whether you're watching the video version live or recorded, you're all in the same boat. It's going to be kind of a visual, or excuse me, an audio exercise. And I'm just going to go down the list, Joey, and I'm going to have you say the 1 seed or the 16, the 9 or the 8, and kind of pick which one you think should move on to the next round.
Okay.
And in the end, only one will stand.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
And those of you watching or listening live, you guys can chime in as well if you have a very strong opinion about one of the shows. All right. And I'll also say the seeding is like partially based on popular consensus.
Okay.
And also partially based just on kind of how I feel about these shows, if I'm being honest. So here we go. Are you ready for the first ever Hoth Hangout March Madness bracket?
All right, let's do it.
All right. The one seed, coming in at the one seed, is the Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
Versus the 16 seed, The Rise of Skywalker. Who you got?
Yeah. I mean, we gotta go Mandalorian there.
That would be me. Right. Advancing the one seed, it sounds like it makes sense to me. I'm gonna keep like a little running tally here and let you know who's going where. All right. Mandalorian advances to the second round past The Rise of Skywalker, the 16 seed. 8-9 matchup for this one, Joey. In the 8 seed, we've got Skeleton Crew versus the 9 seed Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who you got?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The 8-9 seed always in even in college basketball is always the one you're just like, ooh. these are the like the unknown schools, KU community college, you know, schools or whatever that just kind of snuck in. I think I'm gonna go with Obi-Wan though. I'm gonna go Obi-Wan, the 9 seed, moving on.
All right. A little bit of a small upset, it sounds like. Okay. Obi-Wan moves on and takes the victory over Skeleton Crew. Obi-Wan, the 9 seed, over Skeleton Crew, the 8 seed. Next matchup we've got, I've got some animated shows in here, too.
Oh, okay.
Now, I will say, I didn't get, there was like one or two I did get on here. I didn't get Visions on here,
Ooh. And
I didn't get Young Jedi Adventures on here.
Okay.
A couple of the...
They'll be in the NIT version of this,
yeah.
Of this one.
Yeah, NIT version, yeah. 5 seed, we've got The Bad Batch. Versus the 12 seed, The Force Awakens.
Force Awakens was pretty. I mean, out of the sequels, right? That was a lot of people's favorite was Force Awakens. So
yeah.
But versus the Bad Batch, Bad Batch had so much heart. Ooh, I am going to go. I'm going to call an upset though.
I'm going to say
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens over the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
5-12 upset. Okay. Bad Batch, another one of our favorites, but the Force Awakens is going to triumph on this one. All right. 4-13. Something tells me this one might not be an upset for you. The 4 seed is Rogue One. The 13 seed is Star Wars Resistance, something that we watched together here on the channel.
Yes.
And reviewed relatively recently.
Yeah. Listen, I love Kaz Zanuto, is that his name? Love
Kaz
him.
Zanuda.
But come on, Rogue One all day every day.
All right, Rogue One's advancing. The 3 versus 14 matchup, Andor in the 3 seed versus the Book of Boba Fett in the 14 seed.
Yeah, we just talked about how much we love Andor. I'm giving that one to Andor as well.
Sorry to the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
No Power Rangers advancing
no
today.
No Power Rangers.
The 6 seed, Ahsoka versus the 11 seed, The Last Jedi.
Ooh.
This one's tough for you.
Last Jedi was my personal favorite of the sequel trilogy. But, I mean, it's Ahsoka, sure, you know. I think this is a close match. I think this is a closer match than people would think. This one goes into overtime. But I think Ahsoka still takes it.
Wow, okay. I'm surprised, honestly. I even like gave I knew you liked Last Jedi more than Force Awakens, so I even gave it a little bit of an edge at the 11 seed, but Force Awakens is the 12 seed, but Ahsoka comes out on top of the Last Jedi as the 6 seed. All right, two more first round matchups. We have the 7 seed Tales of the Jedi versus the 10 seed Solo.
Ooh. Tales of the Jedi and Solo. This might be
I
the
would
best matchup.
I would say you could interpret Tales of the Jedi as both sets, season one and two. So that's
Oh,
the
and
Ahsoka Dooku, and then the second half with what's her face? Why am I blanking on her
Barris?
name? B Barriss, but then also I always forget the woman who Ahsoka fights.
Morgan.
Morgan Elsbeth, thank
Yeah,
you.
yeah, yeah,
Yes.
yeah, yeah.
You can interpret it as all of
Okay.
season one and season two.
The tales, seasons. And Solo, oof. What were the rankings again?
Tales of the Jedi as the 7 seed, Solo as the 10 seed.
I mean, personally, I think this is, ooh, gosh. Oh, this one's a close one too. This might go into double overtime, this one. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Tails. But like I said, double overtime. Donald Glover's Lando carried them for a while. But yeah, I'll go with Tails.
Hails the Jedi, it is. And then your very last one of the first round, another animated show, Joey. Star Wars Rebels is the 2 seed versus The Acolyte as the
Oh,
15
geez, that's
seed.
not even the Rebels one. Who was the one seed again? The one seed was
The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian. Yeah, see
Yeah.
that's like the 1-2 seed. That's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, I think Rebels runs away with that one.
All right. So first round matchups. The only upsets you had were The Force Awakens as the 12 seed over the 5 seed, The Bad Batch, and then a very minor episode upset of Obi-Wan Kenobi as the 9 seed over the 8 seed Skeleton Crew. So, all right, second round matchups. You ready? We don't have too many more of these. We're gonna fly through. We have The Mandalorian versus Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mando versus Obi-Wan. I did like Obi-Wan. I will say I did like Obi-Wan, but Mando, the start, the first two seasons were just so good. So yeah, we gotta go Mando on that.
All right, advancing Mando to the final four. The other matchup on the top half of the bracket was The Force Awakens versus Rogue One.
Oh gosh. I think the Cinderella story that was The Force Awakens ends here on the Elite Eight, so we'll go with Rogue One.
Okay, setting up a matchup between The Mandalorian and Rogue One in the final
Ooh.
four. We'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah.
Bottom half of the bracket, Andor facing Ahsoka.
Ooh, this is a legit discussion that we've had in the past with ranking of the shows on Disney Plus. So Andor and Ahsoka, I mean both equally matched, one season each, right? So we have just the same amount of content here. Man, this one hurts a little bit. It's a good matchup, but I go with Andor.
Gotta go with
Yeah,
Andor.
I'm
All
going with
right.
Andor on that. Yeah.
He's going chalk so far, ladies and gentlemen. He's got the one, the four, and the three. Let's see if two can make it too. In the bottom, the last matchup of the Elite Eight is Tales of the Jedi versus Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah. I think Rebels, yeah, that's an easy one too.
All right. All right. Well, the final four is set. It's the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed. Here we go. All right. The first semi-final matchup is The Mandalorian versus Rogue One. This is tough, Joey. I feel like I don't know what you're gonna go with. What are you thinking?
Wow. Mando, let's talk about it. I mean, the way it was the first show, right? It was really the first. It was the first Star Wars show that came up on Disney Plus. Really yeah. paved the way and the expectations going. So I'm just talking about more of like the impact it had, right?
Yeah, set the precedent.
Right. Rogue One, as much as I absolutely love it, does it have that type of impact with the movies and with the storyline? Right, it was Rogue One, right? That's who the threw
yeah.
up against. Yeah.
Yeah, Rogue One. Yeah.
It doesn't have the same impact as far as like what it meant to Star Wars. Just kind of, you know, but man, one of my favorites too. Ooh. I'm going to go. Like, you know, when you make brackets, there's a heart, you know, like this is who I want to win.
Yeah, your heart pick is Rogue One.
Your heart pick is Rogue One, but your brain, like, it just makes sense that to go with Mando.
Is that your final call? You go on Mando?
Let's go with, I'm going to go with Mando. I'm going to go with Mando getting to the final.
Okay, the one seed prevails. But hey, Rogue One put up a good fight.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
that
yeah.
was a triple overtime game.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah.
The other semifinal matchup on the bottom half of the bracket is Andor versus Star Wars Rebels. Two very different shows.
And yeah, really that yeah that this is guard. A this is a tough one because of that. And we have Andor. What were the seeds again?
Andor is the 3. Star Wars Rebels is the 2.
2. Okay. Andor 3, 2. Not that that matters at this point, but with Andor, gosh, as much as I love that story, Rebel's story hits hard so many times, and maybe that's unfair because there's 4 seasons of it, but that growth, what you see from it, even like knowing that there's only 1 more season of Andor, I think there just isn't going to be enough time to really connect with those characters as much as we do with Rebels. So I got to go with Rebels.
All right. Well, you have made it to the championship game.
Yep.
And what do you know? The top 2 seeds are here facing down. We have The Mandalorian, the show that started it all for Star Wars TV shows, you know, in the Disney era, that is. And then Star Wars Rebels, arguably... Mm-hmm. You know, some would say even better than Clone Wars, something mm-hmm. that came primarily before the Disney era. Who do you got in this matchup? Again, 2 very different shows.
You know, we talked about impact. Now, Rebels, I don't know, because it's an animated show, unfortunately does not have the same type of impact here, right? But this is the finals, baby, right? Like, all that, you throw all of that out. They both got here fair and square, and whoever, you know, whoever just is a little bit better is just going to win. So I am going to go for the championship of the bracket of the first Hoth Hangouts March of Madness bracket. I am going to pick Rebels. Rebels wins to me.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
A little tiny upset, but not a ton, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to all the Star Wars animation
yeah.
out there.
Right. That was fun.
Done. Yeah, yeah. You had a couple upsets in there.
Yeah, you got to put a graphic together, and you know, we could post that on, see what other people say.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And let us know your thoughts if you're watching this live or if you're watching the recorded version after the fact. What do you think about Joey's bracket that he just made here? And maybe somehow we can post this somewhere that people could fill out their own version or something mm-hmm. like that and share it with us wherever. So. Thank you for participating in the first ever Hoth Hangout March Madness bracket showdown. I don't know what we're calling it.
Yeah.
Name pending, name TBD. We'll see. But that about caps it for us for this episode of the podcast. It's been really a fun pleasure to be back doing this again. It felt like, again, I said it off the top of the podcast, it's like hopping right back on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we never stopped doing it. So. We look forward to being back, I think, in 3 weeks' time for our next one. So episode 109 will be on April 9th rather than April 1st, which would be 2 weeks from now. So 3 weeks from now, we'll be back with our next episode. Again, that episode schedule is going to be slightly more variable for the next 3 or 4 months, but don't worry, we will be back for sure covering Andor stuff, probably doing some reactions that'll be available on the YouTube channel as well. And now is a great time to mention that, mentioning the YouTube channel, if you're not yet subscribed over there, we are still pushing towards that 500 mark. We're kind of setting that as a goal for ourselves and hopefully going to hit that during, maybe even perhaps before the time Andor comes out. So we'll see. But again, if you're not yet subscribed on the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button over there. We'd appreciate it very much. You can also contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them on each episode of the podcast. The Hoth Hangout podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. And whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or any other platform, leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. And it also allows the podcast to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X, and now streaming on Twitch. Whenever we do stream on YouTube, we'll be streaming on both of those platforms. So if you're not following us on the socials or following us on our newly founded Twitch platform, follow us on each of those and check us out next time. We're either streaming on Twitch or active on the socials as well. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server is available in the show notes of today's episode. And last but not least, Joey, it has been a pleasure to be back doing another episode of the podcast with you. Any last thoughts about anything we discussed tonight or anything coming in the future of Star Wars?
I mean, it's good to be back. It's been 3 months, like we said, and it's been a long time coming. And again, congratulations to you and Mariah on their wedding. I hope you have a wonderful and restful and fruitful marriage. I'm sure you heard a lot of that in the past couple of weeks. I'm happy to hear that you finally tied that knot, and now we can get back to other things like podcasts and NCAA brackets and kind of the real life things and house hunting and all that stuff. But congratulations to you, man, and very, very happy for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it a lot. And speaking of brackets, we should do like a Hoth Hangout community.
Ooh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. Anyways, we appreciate you guys so much for joining us for this little comeback episode. We hope to catch y'all very soon. Episodes 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Skeleton Crew Reactions is going to be available on the YouTube channel really soon. So be subscribed with that bell notification on so you know when those episodes do go live on YouTube. And last but not least, even though he couldn't be with us this evening, or I guess what would it be, this late morning his time, mm-hmm. or maybe early afternoon his time, shout out to Gibbo for everything he did behind the scenes to produce today's show, video, and assets. And Gibbo is the one who has been married to us for the past 2 years. So we appreciate you, Gibbo. Thank you for all you do. And once again, thank you to each and every one of you listening tonight. Shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni, hopefully the next president of Lucasfilm. And shout out to all the wonderful work done in Skeleton Crew and all the wonderful work to come, hopefully in Andor Season 2. We'll catch you in the next one covering all things Star Wars. It is amazing to be back. I hope you all are doing well. It's good to be with you. And we'll catch you in the next one. And until then, may the Force be with you.